Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus looked up. He saw some wealthy people putting offerings into the treasury. He noticed a poor widow putting in 2 coins. He said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow put in more than all the rest. For those others have all made offerings from their surplus wealth, but she from her poverty has offered her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord. Yesterday we celebrated the great solemnity of Christ the King. We had a chance to ponder how Christ came to establish a kingdom and the characteristics of that kingdom. And that in order to enter into that kingdom, we needed, for example, to be poor in spirit, because theirs is that kingdom of God. Today, the Church has us ponder that poverty of spirit and how it is the entrance into that kingdom. But it's a poverty that recognizes it isn't as poor as others might think, and it does have the richness of the capacity for love and personal self-gift. Jesus finally got into the temple after that long 12-week journey that we've been on, in which he had set his face on Jerusalem. Now he's there. And after teaching in the temple area, he went over to the portico, close to where the upside-down tuba was, where people would put their money, which was all coins, and it would roll down that funnel-like apparatus into a locked box at the bottom. The rich would come and put in huge sums that would make a lot of noise. But Jesus pointed out this widow who put in 2 lapta. It was all that she had, her whole livelihood, or as Jesus said in St. Mark's Gospel 16 days ago on Sunday, she put in all that she had to live on. 2 lepta, not just 1. It would have been easy for her to just put in this 1/3 of a penny, but she owned 2/3 of a penny, and she was all in. Jesus pointed out what her generosity meant. It was through that she was living in his kingdom, because she recognized that she would rather go penniless than to have God's work frustrated. She was willing to sacrifice all for the kingdom that God was establishing. She had that great desire for what God desired. That's the link to the responsorial psalm in today's first reading. We repeated in prayer several times, "Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face." There was a deep hunger that would be satisfied. And we see the fulfillment of that hunger in the book of Revelation. John saw this vision of the 144,000 dressed in white, whose white garments were blanched in the Lamb's blood, surrounding that Lamb. 144,000. 12 is one of those biblical fancy numbers for the 12 tribes, the 12 gates, etc. 12 times 12 times the number that signified for Jewish mentality a multitude, 1,000, and you get the 144. Unlike the Jehovah's Witnesses in certain fundamentalist Protestant sects, this doesn't mean that there's not 144,001 people who will be saved. It points to an infinite number, but based on a particular structure. But we see who comprises this number. First is they have the Father's and the Lamb's name written on their foreheads. They were marked out in a similar way to the way Cain had been marked at the beginning, as belonging to the Lord. But they could have been marked in several other places. They were marked on their foreheads to show that their minds were set on the things of God, and that they wore it on their face. It was the most conspicuous thing about them, that they were living in the Lord's kingdom. They were singing what seemed to be a new hymn. No one could learn this hymn except them who had been ransomed from the earth. Sometimes, for us to be able to sing what the Lord is singing, we have to go through it through experience. It's not something that we can sight read that doesn't impact us. It has to be something that comes from the depth of a communion with the Lord. And if we don't have that communion, we can't learn either the lyrics or the melody. The Lord permits our communion with Him in life, including our communion with Him on the cross, precisely so that we'll be able to sing in this divine schola forever. And they were singing it. We sing in joy. They are perpetually singing this hymn to the Lamb. Then one of the most beautiful phrases in all of sacred scripture describing them: they are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Their whole task, even in heaven, was to continue what they were doing here on earth. The King had come into the world to announce His kingdom. And to live in the kingdom is not to live so much in a place, but to live in a relationship. The kingdom of God, as I never cease to love repeating, as Cardinal Ratzinger said, the kingdom of God is God. He's the foremost reality of my life. He enters into every decision I make. He's the ground of it all. They seek to follow the Lamb wherever He leads. They're constantly responding to His vocation, His summons to say, come follow me. The vocation is not just something in this world, something that's going to last forever. The Lamb is still dynamic and moving, and they enter into the dynamism of the kingdom fulfilled. On their lips, St. John describes, no deceit has been found. They're without blemish. They have been washed thoroughly clean in the blood of the Lamb. But it shows on their lips, unlike Isaiah, who lamented that he was of unclean lips. They were the ones for whom there would be no deceit. They were telling the truth. They were confessing the Lord. This responsorial psalm, it builds on that truth. To long to see the Lord's face manifests itself in our lips and in our hands. Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord? And we're not just talking about the earthly Jerusalem here. We're talking about the celestial. Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who can stand in His holy place? He whose hands are clean, his hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain. His hands are used for giving rather than stealing, rather than grasping. His heart is clean, and out of that clean heart, Jesus said, comes the good words, because His desires are not for vain things. His desires are for what the Lord wants. This is the way to live here on earth, so that we will be able to sing that song forever with the vast multitude following the Lamb wherever He goes. Sister, it's significant that we're in the week in which we will celebrate for the first time here St. Andrew, who is a patron. There's a great connection, in my opinion, between the mystery of the visitation, and the mystery of the life of St. Andrew. So throughout this week, since we won't be able to celebrate St. Andrew together, I'll just finish with a little thought each day. Visitation is where we seek to follow wherever the Lord is leading, and we go out in charity to those who are in need, pregnant in a sense with the Lord inside. But the mystery of Andrew continues that mystery. He is the one who wants others to follow the Lamb wherever he leads. And as soon as he had met that Lamb, the one John had pointed out who would take away the sins of the world, and he, as a terrible private investigator tailing the Lord, was discovered. As soon as the Sabbath was over, he ran to his brother Simon and brought Simon to that Lamb. And that Lamb changed his brother's life and the history of the kingdom. For us to follow the Lamb wherever he goes, we want to add to the 144,000. And that's what we seek to do through the visitation work, to bring people more and more to experience that the King is with them, no matter how difficult their travail. Today the church marks one of the great saints of the 20th century. Do you know who we're celebrating today? Don't tell the daughters of St. Paul you don't know who we're celebrating today. We're celebrating the Blessed James Alberione, who founded 10 institutes, all to basically use the means of modern communication to be able to help people get to know the Lamb and follow the Lamb. He was the one who brought so many of his brothers and sisters, whatever their name, to discover that the King is present in the world. Today, through the intercession of Blessed James and St. Andrew and all the saints who follow the Lamb perpetually wherever he leads, we ask them to pray for us who long to see the Lord's face, that beholding that Lamb here under the form of bread and wine, we might one day be able to contemplate him forever without the veil.